Beautiful. So before you take a seat, there's a great sense of Holy Spirit here. Who feels it? Beautiful. I just want to thank. I want to thank someone. I've got some friends of mine that haven't been here for years. Adele just loves attention, don't you, Adele? Rob does actually like it, but yeah. But Rob and Adele, you know, in the very early days, me, I used to go pick up Rob in a van. I think pretty much Phil van der Ees's van. I can't remember whose it was. And we would drive out and we would pick up all the gear and set up at our little, the pink building in Cogra, School of Arts. Really just, he was basically loaned to us from Liverpool, really to get this thing up and running, the creative. And good to have you here. And you're just a wise family. And, you know, just for the Holy Spirit, just to thank you. Thank you, guys, for what you sowed into this foundation. It was just me and you in the morning, the very first service he was there, picking up his van, and off we were, ratty old van with all the sound gear in the back. And I was his roadie. Then I had to get up and speak and do everything else. But I want to thank you, all of you. And you're gorgeous little Brooke and Adele. So give them a hand. Very good. And yeah, I just feel, you know, just a thank you. You've done a lot in the kingdom, all of you guys, your family. And it all adds up. And it's something that's not forgotten, not wasted, and it's an eternal investment that you've placed into the kingdom of God. And you haven't seen it all, and you haven't seen, but you haven't seen all the rewards from that too, just faithfully sowing. You guys do. Amen. Beautiful. You may be seated. Turn to the person next to you and just say, you are looking fine. I love community. Who likes community? No, I was convinced. Wow. Who loves community? Amen. That's better. And, you know, I'm going to talk on church community for a moment. But I had a pretty wild week this week. I had one of those weeks where, I don't know, I seem to have an encounter after encounter with God. And people, so, which is really good. You know, sometimes you think, well, most people think the pastor has that every single week. You know, well, it's not quite that way. But it was just a week where I was speaking to a lot of unsaved and saw a lot of hurt and got to just share God. And once again, you think, well, pastor, you should be doing that every week. But it's just not always the way. So there's a lot of organization and things that go on to make a church run. True? But for some reason, I don't know, I got in the office and I was answering the phone to our community food care and it was just ringing off the handle. Obviously, if you don't know, we got a food program out the back and we had some key people away, Jo, who does some of that. She's still away at the moment. And I was just on the phone and it was just call after call after call of desperate families, of people that were just in need. And so I was... I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And so, are you open? Well, we're not open right now, but come in anyway. I'll meet you there. And I just had these encounters. This beautiful young mum, pregnant, one little boy, been here from Ireland, immigrants, illegal immigrants. So she's like, can you help us? And I said, of course we can help you. Amen? Just broken lives, just desperate. You know, literally, we don't have food for tomorrow. So I'm going there and loading her up. And she goes, no, 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 no more. I'm like, let's get another lot. And then another mum comes in, and she's got two kids, and she says, I just got nothing. I just got nothing. So I'm going out there, and we're just filling up. I went crazy. Hannah doesn't know, but I went crazy. I'm like, come back, let's get some more bags, let's get more, you know. And who? And then just a calls and other people, and I got to sit down with someone this week. And on our website, I don't know you, we've got an amazing tool on our website when it explains salvation. And I was talking to this person, I put them on this 10-minute video that we've got on our website. It's been there for years. And this person just had tears in their eyes. I said, can I, because they're just talking about, oh, you know, God's, how can he love, you know, how can he let people die? And so I said, you know, he's a just God as much as he's a loving God. Can you just watch this? And so she watched it with me, and just tears in her eyes. She goes, I understand. I get it now. We all want a just God in our lives, don't we? We want justice. If you've ever been something, someone's done something or said something about you that's just wrong, and you know it's wrong, and as a pastor, trust me, that happens a lot, and you get it, and you just think, God, is there justice? And you've got to give it to God, but God is a just God as much as he's a loving God. Amen? And you can't have one without the other. True? But I love what our church does. And I go out there, and Sheila's been out there for how many years on a Thursday night? Have you been out there, Sheila? Not many. She says that. She's humble. But just beautiful lives, aren't they? Anyway, church community. So next Sunday, please, Vision Sunday is going to be powerful. We've got some really exciting things that we want to step into as a church. And I just encourage you, there's going to be all sorts of things, some new things we've got coming up. I'm very excited about them. And some people know a little bit about them, but you don't know a lot. And we do that on purpose. So I want you to come, all right? Vision Sunday, be here. It's going to be exciting. Community. Why do we have this? Why do we do things like life groups? Why do we have this in our church? Church community is something that we can't treat as an extra. It's not just an add-on to your faith. It's a part of your faith. Amen? Are you with me? Some people actually treat church community as an add-on. They've got their personal faith, and then they've got church community. But that's not the way God ever, ever designed church community. It's actually supposed to be part of your faith. It's supposed to be you are supposed to get saved and do life with people of faith. That's how it works. There's no other way. It's the most powerful way to bring about what God wants to do in your life and your family's life and your kids' life. And as you sit here, your kids in community upstairs, and you'll hang out afterwards. And there's community that happens on a Friday night, and the youth kicks together. They had a movie night, and they all gather, and that's all community. It's powerful. We cannot get away from the fact that we are relationship beings. Amen? And you've always got to go back and have a quick look at the early church, because sometimes we stray. As believers, we stray from the way God designed things. The Bible is about always bringing our life back to God's purpose and plan. Sin has always been described as missing the mark. Are you with me? Sin is not for many years I've had a true definition of what sin is. Sin is God has designed you, and he's aimed a mark for your relationships, for you at your Christian growth, for you as a business person, a mum and a dad. He's put a target, he's put an aim, he's made a designed pathway, and sin is deciding to deviate from that. That's all sin is. It's not trying to rip you off if you're a young adult from having what seems like fun out there in the world. He's just going, if you get involved in that, it's not the way I designed you, it's going to cause you heartache. That's what sin is. Amen? Straying from God's perfect plan for our lives. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 gives us, I'm going to read this, and I'm only going to go through a couple of verses, and we've got a few other things we're going to do. Everyone say do. Go. You said it like I did. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words he testified, this is Peter, and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? He's calling Peter's one of the first sermons recorded in the New, well, it is actually, the New Testament after Christ, the first sermon in the church. And he calls a generation a perverse generation because in our generation, I could call a perverse generation right now. True? They're not godly. They're not going to give you godly wisdom. They're not going to give you godly design. They're going to stray you. That's the generation we live in. Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized on the 19th of February. Fantastic. I love baptismal services. Come. If you want to be baptized, come talk to me, Marianne, Mona, Rachel, Dave Luxton, Jerry and Ann. Talk to Rob. Talk to anyone. If you've never been baptized, be baptized. Come and do it. It's not scary. You just get wet. You get something amazing that happens in your life. It's fantastic. You will love it. I clearly remember the day that I was baptized. And they continued. Did everyone say continued? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. I just want to hone in just for a moment. There's a lot in there, and obviously next week we'll talk about one of those other verses. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. That word, they continued, literally means they existed. Literally, the word just means they were, they existed, they continued. They were there. And that word steadfastly has got a lot of meaning. It means constantly diligent, to adhere closely, to attend, to give of self continually, to wait on continually. That's what that word steadfast means. God wants us as a people, when it comes to community, when it comes to bringing our lives, He wants us to continue, which means to exist here. For me, we don't have a membership in our church, but we certainly know who is part of our church. And if you're part of this church, you are to exist here. You bring your life into this church. You bring your kids, your family, your marriage. That's what you do. And that word steadfastly literally means continually, diligently. You build into it. You add your life. You do life. You bring your life and surrender it to the community of God. Amen? Church is a community where you ground your life and your relationships. You ground them. In this day and age, your relationships can float, and they can, your kids and your family and your, you know, it's a struggle just to bring your family together, to keep it stable, to keep it centered, to keep it focused on the right things. It is, true? With so much distraction, you're in a house and you can have your teenagers up, wrapped up in social media. You can have your 10-year-old wrapped up in an Xbox. You can have your wife on Facebook. You can have your dog out attacking the neighbor's dog. And I'm just talking about my family. And your four-year-old watching TV, all happening in the same room, and it's, you know what I mean? There's so many different things going on. But you bring your family, you bring your relationship, your marriage, your family, your kids, you bring them to the house of God. And right now, they're up there getting godly community. On a Friday night, they get godly community, and I just speak to every parent, and I always will. One of the greatest things you can ever do for your teenagers to see them expand in God is put them in youth group. I've never seen anything more powerful than a youth group in someone's life, a young person. Never. I've seen the most amazing kids meet the wrong people and disappear, and the parents are godly, they're amazing, they've prayed, they've done this. And I grew up spending every morning and every night in church. literally. And because there was quite a large portion of my life where I never connected to youth group, a church we went to way back then just had nothing. I just got caught up with the wrong relationships. And one day, my parents couldn't tell me to come on a Sunday, and I didn't want to be there because I didn't have anyone I connected with. And so I strayed. Community is amazing. Drive your kids. Please, get them in the car on a Friday night and get them here. It works. So they continue steadfastly, the apostles' doctrine. So now what I want to do, church community is something powerful. But what I want to do is I want to teach you how to avoid church community. Are you ready for this? I want to skill you. I'm a pastor. I know everything about church community. So I'm going to give you some tips. I'm going to tell you how you can exist in a church and not be involved or immersed in its community. How would you like that? Are you ready? Coming from a pastor, I'm a master at this. I've been thinking about this. I know I've been around enough people to know the tricks of the trade and how you can stealth your way through a church without ever really being a part of the community. Would you like to hear these tips? Come on, who wants to hear them? Number one, who's ready for this? Keep your conversations short. Keep them short. You're busy, right? You have a lot to deal with in your life. You don't need to talk to someone else. You don't need to add someone else to your life. Just keep it short and sweet. Don't bother talking about anything more than the weather, sport, or Donald Trump. Which is really the topic of today, right now, isn't it? Or Barack Obama or whatever. Just keep it surface. Keep it in that level. Keep conversations short. If you get caught up in our cafe in a one-on-one eye contact conversation, you're going to ruin this. All right? So don't do it. Keep it short. Number two, avoid new people. It's one thing to deal with a few people that you already know at church, but it's another thing to actually meet people that you don't know. Because you could really, really like them. They could actually be that person in the church. You might have met some people and you think, yeah, I get on well with these people. They're okay. But you actually might meet someone that turns out to be like someone that you're going to do life with. That's so dangerous. So just avoid. If you see a new person, the best thing you do is walk straight past them. All right? How are we going? Number three, come in late. Works. A treat. Come in late. Awesome. All sorts of excuses why you can come in late. You know, the car park at the back is closed now. You have to park on Princes Highway. There's plenty of spaces there. And it's just a little bit harder now. And you just time it so that you just can't, you know, the kids stopped you, the dog vomited. You know, there was a traffic jam and you live one street away. You know, all sorts of things that can stop you, and you just got to make sure that you come in late. And do you know what, honestly? You know what the best is? The best is if you time it after the meet and greet. Because then you've got to meet someone. So what you do is you wait for the praise to finish, and then that 30-second meet and greet, and you time it just to come in when announcements are on. And just slip in the bag, sit down. Howdy, awesome. Nailed it this week. Is this all right? Number four, leave immediately. In fact, try and leave before the service ends. Because we've got a greeting team and they'll generally pop up towards the end of the service. But you, if you can beat them, if you see them, if you sit there and see them, quick, come out that door. Zip out there. Just get past them. Yuli and Mel, they'll try and chase you down, but just keep moving. Head down, tail up. Get your focus on that prize, that car. Get to the car, honey. Get to the car. Flee. Is that all right? You know, honestly, if you leave early and you come in late, oh, it's a winner. You can actually be in the church for years and no one knows you. They're just like, who's that? I don't know. I don't think I've ever met them. Wow. If you can do, you can pull that off. Honestly, it's probably one of the best strategies, but it's all about timing. You really got to get it timed out well. Number five, is this helpful? Number five, be physically present but mentally absent. This is a honed skill. Because when you're in a conversation with someone, you've got two things you can do to do this. You've got, wow, and then you've got, oh, really? Right? And when you're actually thinking about the football and everything else, you've got to get the nod right. It's like, wow, really? Because you can turn your wow into a oh with the same nod because you're not listening, right? And so some that they say, yeah, yeah, and my cat died, you go, wow, because you just picked up the last part of it. Are you with me? I know how to do this. This stuff, tell you. Is that all right? This is a big one. Whew. Don't share a meal. If your goal is to avoid community, do everything you can to never be invited to lunch. Honestly. If someone tries to invite you to coffee, lunch, dinner at their place, you do this, you are in so much trouble. Because you are locked in, they're going to get to know you, there's going to be some eye contact, you're going to get to know about them, you can't run, you're stuck at a table, the meal, you can't just go there and pop in for 5 minutes and just go, I'm just here to say hello and then to dive off because the meal goes on. And they give you an entree and then they get in the kitchen and you've got to keep talking and then the main meal comes out and then dessert, you've got to wait for coffee, it goes on forever. You're trapped. Look, there's a lot of things you can do just to pull out that lunch. Fake an ulcer. Gastro's a big one. No one wants your family with your kids come to their place with gastro. Just ring them up and go, you know, I know we're all going to come to lunch. I know you've been chasing us for weeks. We got gastro. And you just hear silence on the other end of the phone and everyone just goes, oh, okay, no, we don't want you at our house. It's a winner. Gastro. Everyone say gastro. Number seven. Is this all right? Is this good? No, I'm just giving some tips here. Number seven, stay very, very busy. I'm busy. The busier you get, the more you're disconnected. Someone comes up to you and you can give out that busy signal. You know, like, I'm engaged. I'm busy. Yeah, I'd love to talk to you, but, you know, I've got millions of people that are just dying for my words and I've got so much going on in my life. It's incredible. I've got 7 dogs, 3 cats. And it's just busy. Stay busy. Put the signal out. When everyone meets you, you're busy. Yeah, it's a big week. Big week this week. Whew, I don't know how I'm going to get through it all. It's amazing. I've got to work 2 days at least, but I'm busy. Number eight, make your default response, everything is great. How you doing? Man, everything is awesome. Didn't you lose your job last week? Yes, but it's fantastic. It's awesome. When people ask how you're doing, just say it's great. No, it's awesome. Yeah. Because then people will never know that you're real. You're just that person that's just always awesome. And then no one needs to know and find out who you are and no one gets to pray for you and get involved in helping you. Amen? Oh, here's a big one. We're almost finished. Don't join a life group. Whatever you do, no matter who talks to you, the pastor, Mona, anyone, do not, if you join a life group, you're going to get connected into a powerful life with people that are going to start praying for you and your needs, and people that are going to get involved and find out what's going on, your sons and your daughters and what they're going through and your job, and they're going to start praying every week, and it's just going to cause chaos. You can actually start to enjoy it, and you're going to start to hear from the Word of God and build lifelong friendships, and you're going to start to do life in a community of God. And you know what? That's dangerous if you're trying to avoid community. Number 10, honestly, last one, don't show up to church. This is your best method. You can just say, do you know what? I just don't feel connected to the church. I don't feel connected to anyone. And when they say, when's the last time you came? You go, oh, that's not the point. I don't feel connected to anyone. But haven't you been there for, you haven't been there for 6 weeks. I know, but I don't feel connected to anyone. That's the winner. Do that one and it's all good. How's that? Was that uplifting? I know it was tongue-in-cheek, but I've been around long enough to know that that is sometimes, there's some embellishment in that, but there's some truth in that, isn't there? We've all been in places like that, personalities, who you are. Can I just say, church community is, it's a part of your relationship with God. Don't separate the two. It really is. So powerful. You were never designed to have just you and God alone in a relationship. You were designed to feed off God's relationship and other people around you. Amen? Their revelation of God helps build the picture. In Ephesians 4, it says we're knitted and fitted together. Amen? Which means we, our talents, our abilities, our revelation, our faith, our desires in God get mixed with someone else's, and it just makes this beautiful collage and picture, and that's what you call community. And when you're weak, someone else is full of faith, and it's just there, and it's alive, and it's real, and it's powerful, and but you've got to enter into it to make it happen. Right now, we're going to get a couple of our life group attenders, maybe one. Yuli is going to come up right now. Where's Yuli? Beautiful. Thank you, Box. Just, are you one there? And one there? Perfect. Or maybe a little bit to, no. Oh, we just need a microphone. Well, isn't Yuli a beautiful person?
I feel like I've been duped.
Here he has been. So quickly, just tell us about the life group that you go to.
We go to Ann and Jerry's. It first started off as it was convenient, it was close. I'm like, what the heck, let's try it out. And then it turned out that, oh, we're actually learning something. So it's a very good community. We do a lot of laughing there and a lot of eating. And so it's great. It's a good group, good collective group of people that are learning the Bible.
Beautiful. So, if I was to pick on one of the main reasons that people don't go to a life group, generally it's time, fitting it into their life, their busyness. So how do you deal with that pressure? I mean, I'm sure you're busy. You've got a family, a growing family. You've got a career. How do you deal with that?
Well, for me, the nights that I've missed life group of just pure laziness, you know, I'll just tell you right up front, you know, it's like, I don't want to go. But what's happened to us, I'd say, in our family is we are asking that second question now. Instead of just saying, oh, how do I feel? It's like, okay, it's not about me. So I was that way about church. You know, I don't feel like going to church today. You know, I'm being lazy, but it was me. Now we say to ourselves, well, it's not about us. So we'll go to the life groups. And look, I don't always get the information that I'd like out of the life group because I may have just read it in the Bible or I may already know about it. But it does. It reinforces what you already know. And like I said, the group that we have, you know, we're some would call us a motley crew, but it is. It's a very good group of people, and it's the same people. And you can say whatever you like there, you know, and everyone, yeah. You might get some stares, but it is. It's literally an extension from this church because I look out and I see the same people every week. And it is. It's a close family, and the life group is just an extension of Bay City Church.
Great. So tell us about the two main reasons that you attend a life group. What are they? What's the two things that you could...
One is the camaraderie. Two is I might have questions. I mean, Jerry and I have had conversations about something that confuses me. I'm doing a 365 right now, a new version, and the Bible's very confusing to me right now. And I golf with a guy who, like Jerry, is, they're the Bible. You know, I can go up to him and ask him something, and I'm like, dude, I'm completely confused about something that I read. And I just asked him yesterday, and he said, look, you still have diapers on. He says, don't worry about it now. It'll come to you later. Just keep doing what you're doing. And the life group, I can ask anyone. I can ask Ann, I can ask Jerry, and I know I'm going to get a good, solid answer on any of the questions that I have. So that's what I look forward to. It.
Last question. So what has God done in your life through attending Life Group? Just
where do I start? New Zealand. I was stuck in New Zealand. My, what do you call it, visa? My visa ran out. I didn't know. Guy at the airport said, hey, you may have a problem getting back in. I'm like, huh? This is after I'm on the other side of the gate. I called Melissa, and she's panicking. She calls Ann and Jerry. They start praying. Next thing you know, my visa's been approved. I'm like, that's crazy. It literally took 24 hours. We were looking for a house. Went to an auction that morning. The price was just through the roof. Melissa, again, I was too. She was externally panicking. I was panicking internally. Ann and Jerry praying for us. We got the house. I could just keep going, but these people don't want to hear me talk, you know? It's just, and there's things that you know that are happening that haven't happened yet, but I know they're just out there, and you know, they'll come to us.
Beautiful. Give him a hand. Yuli, you're a legend. Brilliant. Got a little bit of a video just to see. Just caught Rachel by surprise. And then Mona's going to come up and introduce some of our life group leaders. Thank you.
Awesome. Wasn't that a good word? I love that. It was really cheeky, but very effective. Was anyone wiggling in their seats? Come on. Hey, I'm going to introduce some of our life groups, actually, those leaders that are here this morning. And as they come up, I really want to encourage you to give them a huge clap, because these guys are amazing. And we're going to have just a quick look at the life groups that are on this year and where they're at and that sort of thing. So without any further ado, I'm going to invite Ann and Jerry Reno to come up. Yeah, come on. Jill Harper. Chris Savolas. Gareth Haynes. Joanne Garcia, who is not with us this morning. Yeah, let's just welcome her. And where's the lovely Maddie Harper? There she is. And Dave and Mona Luxton. Come on up. Come on. I don't know, has anyone seen her? Someone give her a yell, please. Awesome. So this is our team. Let's give everyone another big round of applause. Now, these guys are incredibly passionate about what they do, and life groups are something that they do because they have a heart for it and they believe in it. Isn't that right, guys? And, there's a big commitment that goes and a responsibility with leading a life group. And so really just want to, thank these guys for what they do each and every fortnight, and then there is a lot involved. But I'm going to just pick on a couple of people and just ask them a couple of questions. Is that all right? And I don't think any of them know that they're going to be asked any questions. And so they haven't prepared. It's not like, this is what I prepared earlier kind of deal. So this is on the spot. So I'm going to start with Ann and Jerry. Who loves Ann and Jerry? Yeah. So guys, what is it about life groups that inspires you to want to lead a life group? What is it? What's that thing that drives you?
I guess with when there's a need, I just felt drawn towards needs. I don't know what that is about. Something that God's done in my life over the years. And we are people. We really, and we just wanted to create a very safe, comfortable, chilled kind of environment that people that don't necessarily fit. When we first started doing it, there were groups that were very specific in the type of people they catered to, and we really felt that we wanted to do a group for people that didn't fit into the groups. I'm an art teacher, so I'll talk a little bit visually. anyone know what a collage is? It's you stick a whole lot of different colours and paper and textures and things together, and they're all very different, but when they're together they look really beautiful. And that's kind of what our life group is. We're all very different ages, yeah. Different walks of life, but we really are enriched by each other's differences. We have, kids 13 in there talking and contributing, and we have awesome. People in their 50s contributing, and all of us were able to contribute to each other's lives in a way that makes it more beautiful.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. And a lot of great food at your place, I hear, as well.
But that again, was just a need. I mean, a lot of people that are coming are coming straight from work. There's a couple of single mums, and we're just trying to make it easy and convenient. I mean, some nights we might just, chuck anything together and other nights I'll cook up a storm. But we want it to be able to be convenient and easy and comfortable. And also we do find that eating together just really brings a sense of family and connection. And it is, like Yuli said, you can say anything, do anything in our group. Like, nobody's going to judge you. We have a really good time.
I love that. Yeah. I love it. And just quickly, your life group is at?
Menai. So if you're sort of anywhere south of, I guess, Mortdale through, you know, Sutherland and those sort of areas, we're in your general vicinity. And we cater to kids as well. We kind of put them in the other room. We usually... we have to stop several times in the Bible study to go, shut up, stop it. Yuli will attest to that. So,
awesome.
So we often do that. They're kind of in another room, but yeah, it's mayhem, but it's beautiful mayhem.
Awesome. Thank you, Anne. Thank you. Just maybe pass it to Jill.
Hi, Mona.
Hi, Jill. Everyone say hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
She's so sweet, isn't she? Jill, what inspires you to want to lead a life group or to lead your life group?
Right. What happened, I saw there was a need because it's a very wonderful time, mums with children when they're little, and we've all gone through that, and you just need more fellowship. You really do. When you've got little children, you just long to get out and see other people and study the Word of God and all that kind of thing. And... but you had to have a room to play in because at home, if you got two families together with their children, it would almost fit up a room, you know. And there were two families that wanted something, and one a group to get together and study, and one of them had four children, the other one had, I think, seven. And I just knew it just couldn't work. And so I said, can we have it at church here? And then... I've just sort of got on to people who have got little families and all that kind of thing. And then those who are looking for jobs, haven't got work yet, and they're free. And then those that are older and all that kind of thing. And it's really needed. It's really needed. Okay. Because I was searching for just fellowship. And then there's that time in life when you have to go to work. And I think Joanne Garcia has that at night when people can come to her place at night. But I'm open for people who have got that time where they just want fellowship, whether they've got children, little kids, or whether they're not working, looking for a job, we can pray for them, or they're just new and all that kind of thing. And it's really great.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Jill. Yeah. And Jill's, give her a hand. Jill's life group has just exploded, and I know that, you know, the ladies that go along to that just really, really love and enjoy and get so much out of that time together. And Jill's an amazing life group leader. She's fantastic at what she does. I'm just going to skip over to Gareth. Hey, Gareth.
Hello.
Gareth is our young adults life group leader. Yep. So he looks after all the young ones. That'd be me.
Absolutely.
So, Gareth, what inspires you to lead life group?
Inspires me is, it's like, it's just a part of the church that's been delegated to me, because the church has a mandate to grow and to expand and increase its influence, but in that process, we've still got to keep the family close and intimate in relationships, and see, life group allows us to do that. And with the young adults, it's an open discussion. I'm just sort of facilitating a conversation, so to speak. So we just open the Bible and we just start unpacking scripture. And that's just like one portion of it. But there's also, like, we're a family. We're just together and we're looking out for each other and doing life together.
Awesome.
As simple as that.
Fantastic. What's one thing that you hope for, that you pray for your group?
More people. Because we have to keep growing and expanding, but also that individually each one of them, you know, really grab a hold of what God's got for them and, go after everything that the Lord's got for them.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Gareth. And we stole Gareth from Kids, this Kids Church, so if you need to go back, it's cool. Thank you. Have we got time for more? I'm gonna skip over to Maddie Harper. Everyone say hi, Maddie.
Hi, guys.
So, Maddie, tell us about youth and life groups.
All right, well, I'm actually just representing one of many of our youth leaders, so we couldn't all get them up here today. But we have some info to the screens here. So we actually run a life group based on age groups. So we have our 6 to 8s, which are every second Sunday. That's going to kick off next Sunday. And they just get taken out. They'll be in for worship, and then we take them out during the sermon. We sit down with them, catch up on their week, what's been happening, anything they want prayer for, and then we'll often do a little Bible study with them, keep it light and fun with some games because they are our younger kids. And then the 9 to 12s, which is the next age group, they're going to meet fortnightly.